This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. I want to share verses. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Thank God. Even to the end of the world. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Hide us in the cross of Calvary, that people might see Jesus. And for all you do, I'm going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Christ's name. Until you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Better than 30 years ago, Barbara and I were living in Tennessee and pastoring a church that I started. We started with about 13 people. The church built to about 300 people. Where we lived, you could go one way about 20 minutes and was her family, and you could go the other way about 20 minutes was my family, so we were very happy. But I got an opportunity to come to Georgia and preach. And I got an opportunity to come and preach on a Thursday night through a Sunday night at a place called Rock Springs Church in Milner, Georgia. And I said, "Barbara, wouldn't it be neat? It'd kind of be like a mini vacation. We'll go and preach and we'll never ever go back, but it will be a wonderful vacation." And I came and I preached on a Thursday night and I preached on Friday night. And we were walking back to the little pastorin that we're staying in. And she looked at me and she said, "Benny, I believe God may be leading you here to be the pastor." And I said, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name." And then I preached Saturday night, and Sunday morning I was sitting on the front row and a young man got up to sing right before I preached, and he sang a song that I'd never heard. This was the song, "Lily of the Valley, Let Your Sweet Aroma Fill My Life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light. Daystar, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, lead me, Lord, and I'll follow anywhere you open the door. Let your word speak to me. Show me what I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be your witness. You can take what's wrong and make it right. Daystar, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night." I preached that message. I went to the end of Rock Springs Road. I placed my head on a steering wheel. And I said, "God, if you want me to come, I'll come. Because more than anything else, I want to be obedient to you. More than anything else, I want to be obedient unto you. Because if you please God, it doesn't matter who you don't please. But if you don't please God, it doesn't matter who you do please." I used to pray for 8 years. There was a man who was governor of our state. And I would meet with him. He wanted me to meet with him simply just to pray for him. So for 8 years, I met with the governor and I would pray for him. And I would always say, "Governor, what do you want me to pray about?" And his answer never changed. He always said, "Just pray that I'll be obedient." Because he said, "I've learned if I'm obedient, it will take care of every aspect of my life. I'll be the governor I need to be. I'll be the husband I need to be. I'll be the father I need to be. I'll be the friend I need to be. If I'll just be obedient to God." Used to be an old song that says, "Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way." You can't sing that song biblically and say unless you say yes. Because if you say no, he's not your Lord. He's not your Lord. I gave my life to Christ one Sunday night about midnight. I joined the pastor's hands and I prayed and I asked Christ to come into my heart. I didn't know anything about church. I didn't know anything about God. We were very dysfunctional. And after I asked Christ into my heart, the pastor looked at me and he said, "Now, next Sunday afternoon, we're going somewhere." I said, "Where are we going?" He said, "We're going to the ice hole." Notice I said cold, ice hole. I said, "Why are we going to the ice hole?" He said, "Because you're going to preach a message." I said, "What?" He said, "You're going to preach a message, but you're not going to say a word." I said, "So I'm going to preach a message, but I'm not going to say a word." He said, "Exactly. You're going to get baptized." I said, "Why am I going to do that?" He said, "Because God tells you to do that right after you get saved. Right after you become a Christian, God tells you to get baptized." As Christians, our answer's got to always be yes, even before he asks us what to do. As a Christian, your answer and my answer is always got to be yes, even before we know what he wants us to do. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is all I'm going to say. If you'll just be obedient, quit trying to figure out how you're going to work everything out. You just be obedient to what God wants you to do. Somebody said, "He'll show you everything." No, no, no. Remember, folks, he is a lamp under your feet. A lamp don't show you far in advance. He is a lamp under your feet and a light under your path. He don't show you far in advance, but you just be obedient to him today for what he wants you to do. Just today. And folks, after you become a Christian, the first step of obedience is baptism. I want you to see three or four quick things, and I'll try to move fast. First of all, I want you to see the mandate for baptism. The mandate for baptism. A little girl went to her first baptismal service, and she'd never been to church, and they baptized, and she goes home. And she gets home and she gets in the bathtub and she starts baptizing her Barbie dolls. And her mother passes by and hears her say these words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and in the hole you go." In the hole you go. Well, the Bible says in Matthew 28:19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them." Acts 2:38 says this, folks, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Now, here's what you're saying. "Pastor Benny, you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. The thief on the cross wasn't baptized." Well, here's the thought. Just get yourself crucified. Amen? Just get yourself crucified and you won't have to be either. Somebody said, "Pastor, you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven." Look here, you're right. But you do have to be baptized to go to heaven obediently. You do have to be baptized to go to heaven obediently. Why is it, folks? If Jesus began his ministry by being baptized and ended his life by telling us to get baptized, why, if he maximizes something, why do we want to minimize what he has maximized? I don't understand why we would want to minimize what he has maximized. You said, I've never heard a Methodist preacher preach like you. Well, hey, let me tell you something. Somebody got a hold of me before the Methodist did. Why do we want to minimize what God maximized? In Acts chapter 8, let me tell you a story. There was a preacher by the name of Philip, and he was in Samaria, and he was in a great revival. But look, God spoke to him to go south to Gaza, which, by the way, is the desert. And he goes south to Gaza, and there's a man by the down there. He's an Ethiopian eunuch. But wait, I want you to get this. He's the secretary of the treasury. Like the president has a cabinet. This man was very affluent. He was the secretary of the treasury. He was a very accomplished, wealthy man. You say, Pastor, how do you know he was wealthy? Because he was reading the book of Isaiah and he had his own manuscript. He was very wealthy. But God tells Philip, you go down there to the desert. There's a man down there. And look what the Bible says. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, here's water. What doeth hinder me from being baptized? All I'm going to say, folks, they were in the desert. But water was there. Because water flowed down from Jerusalem. And it would make ravines. And all it was, ladies and gentlemen, was a mud puddle. But this distinguished secretary of the treasury said, what hinders me from being baptized? Now let's stay with the Bible. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You said, no, wait, Pastor. I'm okay because I got baptized when I was a baby. No, no, no. You didn't believe us with all thy heart. You didn't even know right from wrong. Baptism is believer's baptism. You got the cart before the horse. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and then you get baptized. You said, wait, Pastor. I gave my life to Christ several years ago, but I got baptized when I was 8. You wasn't even a Christian when you were 8. You got the cart before the horse. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Here's what I want you to see. If you study the book of Acts, all the way through, everybody who ever gave their life to Christ was baptized immediately. Everybody who ever gave their life to Christ was baptized immediately. But our attitudes today is, I'll get around to it. If not next month, next year. But everybody in the Bible who gave their lives to Christ quickly went to the ice hole. I want you to see the mandate for baptism, but I want you to see the method of baptism. Baptism comes from a Greek word, baptizo. It means to submerge. When you baptize somebody, you submerge them. Pastor, where does sprinkling come in? I researched it, it was started for people that were clinically unable to get baptized. Do you see something wrong with it? Not if a person's clinically unable to be baptized. But literally, baptizo means to be submerged. Folks, I'm just trying to preach the Bible. I'm just trying to preach the Bible. Well, what does the Bible say in John 3:23? And John was baptizing in Anon, near Salaam, because, wait, Why did he baptize there? Because there was much water there. Much water there. How did Jesus get baptized? Well, look what he says. And straightway coming up out of the water. Jesus came up out of the water. So we've talked about the mandate for baptism. We've talked about the method. I want to give you the motivation for baptism. Why would a person get baptized? Why, Pastor Benny, would I get baptized? Well, let me explain to you why. Number one, the Bible commands it. It's in Matthew 28:19. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I'm praying about it. There's no need of you praying about what God's commanded. There's no need of us praying about what God's commanded. The second reason why you ought to get baptized is Jesus gave us an example. I've baptized many of you in the Jordan River. And I've taken you to the very place where Jesus got baptized. Why did he get baptized? Well, the Bible says he gave us an example to go by. Let me tell you the third reason why we ought to get baptized. It pleases God. There's only twice in the Bible where God looked down from heaven and said, by the way, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. One time was at the transfiguration. The other time was in Matthew 3:17 when Jesus got baptized. Let me tell you the fourth reason why baptism is so important, ladies and gentlemen. It affects your prayer life. You say, Pastor, I'm praying about things. Wait. Till you get your baptism right, your prayers are not going to be what they ought to be. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're not following the Lord in believer's baptism and we know to do it, we're living a life of disobedience to God. You say, Brother Ben, I don't like how you're rubbing the cat fur. Well, turn the cat around. Oh, listen, folks, I'm just delivering the mail. I'm just sharing. You know what I've learned, folks? I've been doing this so long. But you know what I've learned about most people? They enjoy ammunition preaching. They enjoy ammunition preaching. As long as I'm preaching exactly what they've been taught all their life. But the moment you share something contrary to traditional teaching, then they don't like it anymore. But I want you to know, my prayer life, I'm praying for things right now, but my prayer life is not going to be what it ought to be until I get my baptism right. Let me tell you the fifth motivation for baptism. It expresses to God, I love you. It expresses to God, I love you. Because John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Somebody said, I'm keeping the commandments. You hadn't kept the first one. You hadn't got the first one yet. See, folks, lastly, what is the message of baptism? We used to have Sunday night service. This is a true story, folks. And we'd have worship. And then I would preach. And when we'd finish, people would jump up and run out. And I'd think, my God, we're getting ready to baptize. I would have came in late. No, I would have missed the worship, or I would have missed the message. I would have came in late. Because let me tell you why. You know what the message of baptism is? Every time a person walks in that baptismal pool, it symbolizes that old man has died. It symbolizes that old man has died, and there's a new man who's been raised to walk in newness of life. It represents that there's been a transformation. There's been a change. That person was on their way to hell, but now they're on their way to heaven. No, I don't want to miss that. You come up real close. Quit looking at the ground. I'll let you know when we're going to pray. It symbolizes every time there's a baptism that Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. And heaven had a party. And heaven had a party. But on that third day, Jesus was raised triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Oh, ladies and gentlemen. No, it's threefold. This week I've had four funerals. But every time there's a baptism, it represents that a person's going to die, and we're going to walk down to a cemetery. I said seminary. Some of them are dead too. But anyway, that we're going to walk down to a cemetery, but one day the trumpet of God's going to sound. If it wasn't for my Methodist dignity, I'd shout right now. One day the trumpet of God's going to sound, and that body's going to be raised triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. So to say, I'm not interested in baptism. You're saying, I'm not interested in the cross. I'm not interested in Easter. I'm not interested in any of that, because that's what baptism represents. I was baptized in one time, and a little girl said, next time you do that, I want to get advertised. And by the way, folks, that's what it is. It's an advertisement, amen? It's an advertisement, amen? I say it's an advertisement, amen? Here's what I want to get this. I'm almost done. That eunuch said in Acts 8:36, what hinders me from being baptized? Look here, I want to ask you something. What's hindering you from getting baptized? Well, I've removed all the hindrances. You say, you got to be kidding. No, I've removed them all. Today, after this service is over, if you go out to a table, I've got towels. I've got shirts. I've got shorts. I've got undergarments. I've got toiletries. What's hindering you from getting baptized? I want Mama to see it. I knew that. Mama, at the start of the 11 o'clock service, I'm going to be getting baptized. So you sure want to log in. Because you'll see me. And Mama says, well, I don't know if I can watch then. Well, it's okay, Mama, because I get a DVD of it. You say, Preacher Benny, why do you keep staring at me? I'm not staring at you. It's the Holy Spirit dealing with you. See, there's several groups here today. Some of you have never been saved or baptized. You've never believed on Jesus Christ. That's the first step. Make sure we do that. Some of you here, you've been baptized, but the only problem was when you got baptized, you wasn't even a Christian. You just did it because a bunch of other people did it, to check it off your list. You just checked it off the list, but you wasn't even a Christian. So you got to get your baptism right. Some of you wasn't baptized the proper way. Now I'll give you something else. Some of you may disagree with me on this, but it's okay. I've known many people that gave their life to Christ, but then got far away from Jesus. And they later came back and recommitted their life. You say, Brother Benny, would you think I ought to get baptized again? Well, let's let the word speak to us. Nevertheless, he said to the church at Ephesus, by the way, to the church, I have somewhat against you because you left your first love. That's what we do when we walk away from God. We leave our first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent. So you need to recommit your life to Christ. But look what he said. And do the first works. What was the first work? You got baptized. You got baptized. So when people are rebaptized, they just say, God, I've made a recommitment to you. You say, Pastor, have you been baptized more than once? Yes, I have. You say, you got to be kidding. No, yes, I have. I just want to make a recommitment to you, Lord, and I just want to live for you. Let me tell you something, folks. I've done things in my life that I'm ashamed of. You probably have too. But did you know the Bible says in Hebrews 2:11 that he's never been ashamed of us? That he's never been ashamed of us. And he's even willing to call us brothers and sisters. He's never been ashamed of us. And he's even willing to call us brothers and sisters. And you know what baptism says? I'm not ashamed of you, Jesus. I want to be identified with you. I want to be identified with you. Look here. This is my wedding ring. I wear it every day. Could you imagine? I said, I don't want to wear it anymore. I don't want to wear it. Well, it doesn't make me married anyway. But what it is, ladies and gentlemen, it's a symbol that I am married. And it says I'm identified because I'm married. What baptism is, it's just a symbol. It just identifies you and says, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.